We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I spend 30 minutes a day with you Monday through Friday right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we want to thank you for allowing us to be part of your day, and I hope you are already working up a good praise to bring to the Lord this coming Sunday morning. I remember several years ago, I preached a message. This goes back a long time. And my title was Bring It. Bring It. Bring the praise. Don't let somebody else carry it for you. Bring it. You know, make sure that you are bringing him your best. And so I pray that you will begin to contemplate now something that you have to praise God for on Sunday morning. I pray that you all have a marvelous church service wherever you attend. We are going to be having a great service, and then following that church service, we're going to be having our Thanksgiving dinner. If you do not have a church to attend, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We will be having a fellowship dinner after the service. Church will be providing the turkeys, and everybody else will be bringing the side dishes, and so there will probably be some macaroni and cheese, and there will probably be some sweet potato casserole and some broccoli casserole. There will be some stuffing and mashed potatoes and, pumpkin pie and all sorts of good stuff going on. And so if you would like to come and have a Thanksgiving Sunday service with us, we encourage you to come Sunday morning, 10:30, and then the dinner will be following that, as soon as we can get everything transitioned from church to food, we will begin to eat. So we're wrapping up our study on the fruit of the Spirit is patience and long-suffering. And I was in Revelation chapter 2 yesterday with the church at Thyatira. And I want to go back to just share a few things about that. No church is perfect. There were seven churches that are written about in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and not one of them is perfect. And if it was perfect, if I happened to visit that day, its perfection would be ruined. I've heard people go in and they go in examining the church. And if you come to visit Merritt Assembly of God, I will assure you this, you will find plenty of things that, that aren't perfect. Plenty of things that could probably be done better. Our definition of excellence is not doing it to compete with Disney or Universal Studios or any of those other entertainment capitals. Our definition of excellence is doing what we can for the glory of God to the best of our ability and while continuing to improve our ability. So please understand that we're ministering to people that come in. Some have more experience walking with God than others do, but all of us have our own flaws, our own imperfections, and all seven of the churches that were written to by John in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 were written to churches with issues. With that being said, God is not in heaven looking at you, waiting for you to mess up so that he can take a divine baseball bat and go do hitting practice with your eternal soul, so just waiting for you to mess up so that he can bat you into an eternity away from him. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is looking to empower you to overcome whatever issues, whatever shortcomings, whatever sins a church is dealing with. When we first came to Florida, we visited several churches, but we were not looking for the perfect church. We weren't looking for a church that would meet our needs. We didn't find a perfect church. And we looked, we visited several. What we were looking for was we were looking for the church that God was calling us to serve. And so you need to understand, I've just got a different mindset. I'm constantly studying church growth and church health issues. And one of the things that they tell pastors is quite frankly this, that people generally make up their mind within the first minute of being on the property whether or not they're going to come back again. And, you know, I just don't understand that mindset, because I'm much more concerned about, is this church going to preach the word of God? Is this church going to equip me to serve? Are they going to equip me with the word of God so that I am empowered to serve? Those are the things that I'm concerned about. I've been told in years gone by, well, I'm going to take my friend. I'm going to, instead of coming to the church that's been ministering to me, I'm going to take them to a larger church because they need a spouse, and they've got a better chance of finding a spouse at the church down the road than they do at the church that's been ministering to me. I've been told, well, this church has this, your church doesn't have that, and I'm going to take them. And can I just tell you something? You need to look for the church that God wants to place you in, where you are going to be built up in your faith. So hearing all of those things, I mean, I could get a little discouraged about the churches that we find out about in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, if everybody was always pointing out our flaws and finding out that people don't want to walk with you through that growing process. Now, I'm not saying it's exclusively that way, because I've had people that have come in and said, you know what? We have prayed about it. God has called us here, and he's called us here to help minister in this church and to this community. And it's like, really? Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so thankful that that exists. So, you know, I've been told a number of times, well, your church is too small. You're been told this one, your church building is too old. It's like, oh, well, I didn't realize that the age of the cinder block made that big of a difference. Here was the one that just really blew my mind one time, and that was, well, your church is too big. It's like, too big? That's the first time I've ever heard that, but I've heard the entire spectrum. So with all of those people who are looking and finding flaws, it's refreshing to me to find out that God knows the things that are going well in my life, and he knows those areas of challenge. He knows whether we're going through persecution or not. He knows through, you know, whether we're just having a real season of challenge. He knows all about that, but he never pats us on the head and says, oh, well, just deal with it. He says, I want you to overcome. So while God knows that we have flaws, he is looking for us not to license our sin, but to overcome our sin. And so when we were talking about the church at Thyatira yesterday, it says, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. So I just want to touch a little bit on that. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 13 and chapter 14. God is being patient with us. And his patience is not an endorsement of a sinful lifestyle. What he wants to do is bring our attention to areas that he wants to transform, and says, you're going to need to abandon sin at whatever point he identifies it. You're going to need to abandon that so you can embrace my spirit that will help you to overcome. And when you overcome, I've got something better for you than you've ever dreamed. Look at the churches in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. I don't have time to do it here on this broadcast. But look at the things that he says are available for those who overcome. And what I want to point out to you is, if God was looking for a way or a reason to separate and cut off relationship with us for all of eternity, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is evidence that he already knows all about the flaws. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 are his way of communicating to the church, I know the great things you've done, I know the great things you're doing, but I also know some issues that we need to change, and I'm giving you time for you to repent, for you to change those things. And when you overcome, I have got provision for you that is amazing. Now, just about every church that is identified in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation has major flaws. And from a personal perspective, dealing with problems on a nonstop basis, that gets old after a while. So one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Revelation chapter 4. I preach a message from this entitled, Thank God for Chapter 4. Because when you've dealt with problem after problem after problem after problem, it's so refreshing to get to have an encounter like Revelation chapter 4, where John has a personal encounter with God, gets ushered up into heaven, and has a remarkable encounter where everything revolves not around problems, but around the throne of God. Read it. It'll be a blessing to you. If you're going through a difficult season right now, I encourage you to find Revelation chapter 4 and say, God, would you minister to me in such a way that I regain my perspective on the things that are taking place in heaven. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And some translations say the patient endurance and the faith of the saints. Okay. Now, let me describe to you what is going on. All hell is breaking loose on earth. Everything that is ungodly is on the rampage. There is blasphemy that is going on. This is a wide scope. It is not a consolidated thing. There are 10 horns and 10 crowns, and there are multiple heads that are going on, and everything that is going on, listen, there is the ability to have great and persuasive speech. There is power. There is authority. There is a rampage that is going on that is so great that the Bible asks, who is able to withstand, or who is able to make war with this entity that is speaking great things and great blasphemies and is on this rampage for 42 months, 3.5 years. See, you know, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you are on, you will find yourself being on the victorious side and on the losing side. And when you are on the losing side, you need to thank God that you live in America, because we have term limits for our president. And, you know, the bad side when you're on the winning side is there are term limits for the president. And during this season that is described in Revelation chapter 13, where there is war and all sorts of evil that is taking place, and there is a raging against the saints. It says in verse number 7, it was granted to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is a time where you don't want to be living on planet Earth. But there will be people who will have rejected the grace that was offered them, and they find themselves during this time of serious tribulation that is going on, that they will find that, you know, they have chosen not to take the easy way out, which is to receive the mark of the beast. And you find out a little bit more about that. Let me read to you verse number 11 on through the end of the chapter. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all of the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he who deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So we have pictured for us here in Revelation chapter 13, a time where it looks like evil has triumphed. It looks like evil is on the rampage. The people of God are being killed. They have to go along with the devil's plan, or they are going to be marginalized from society. They will not be able to buy. They will not be able to sell. They will not be able to have any, they will be on a diminished level of society. And folks, we see the attempt to marginalize believers that has been going on in America here for a number of years, where if you're a Christian business, you are marginalized unless you go along with the social engineering that is going on in America right now. And there are many people who would say, let's just throw up our hands, it is hopeless. And I want you to understand that in Revelation chapter 13, that there is a word of encouragement that is couched right there, pretty much in the middle of that passage. And it tells us what is called for when all hell is breaking loose on a global scale, on a macro scale. What happens if we bring that down to a manageable scale where we look at it? What do we do when it seems like all hell is breaking loose in your personal life, in your home life, in your family life, when it's breaking loose in your financial realm? What do you do when it's breaking? And I want you to know, you need the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you need. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. And it begins to talk about here in verse number 10, and it says, verse 9 begins with this phrase: if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And he begins to describe that there are different destinies, that at this point in time, it talks about some are going to be led into captivity and some are going to die by the sword. And I want you to understand that you have a destiny. Peter, when Jesus was sharing with him in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, he looked at John and said, well, you've told me what my destiny is. What about him? And he says, what difference does that make to you? Follow me. And some people misunderstood that. They thought that John wasn't going to die. That was this John who was writing the book of Revelation. And he says, when you are considering your destiny in the scope of reality, where it seems like you are meeting opposition at every turn and people are speaking and undermining the destiny that you believe. And I'm not just focusing on the captivity or the killing here. I'm talking about your destiny as an individual child of God, your destiny as a church of the living God. How do you respond when your destiny is being attacked by all of the forces of hell? And I will remind you that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And in a world where the forces of darkness are advancing and the children of God are under attack, I want you to understand what the Bible says. It says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We've seen faith and patience aligned together a number of times here in our study. So I want you to know that this is not just a theological nugget for your brain, but this is an equipping for your arsenal to successfully wage spiritual warfare when it looks like defeat is guaranteed and victory for the saints is looking more and more bleak. Paul knew what that was like. Luke knew what that was like, who wrote the book of Acts, because he said when they were on this ship, they found themselves in a storm that was so intense that they literally gave up hope that any of them were going to survive. And then God showed up and ministered to them. And Paul emerged the next morning and he said, brethren, I want you to know that my God, whose I am and whom I serve, he sent an angel who stood beside me last night and encouraged me. He has told us that this journey is going to be pretty rocky, but he has assured me that everybody is going to live. So let's eat. Let's strengthen ourselves for the journey ahead. That's the type of mindset that John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is required when the kingdom looks like it's under an all-out blitz. He said, the saints of God, don't throw up your hands, don't give up, don't be depressed, but put into practice the faith that God has given to you and the patience that the Holy Spirit has produced in you. It is in those seasons of adversity that you manifest the continuing, patient endurance that only comes from God, and you do it with joy. You say, I don't know if I can do that. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, because it is not you doing it. It is the Holy Spirit producing that fruit in you. And I believe in the power and the person and the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that if your world is falling apart right now, that He will hold you together. I believe that. I really, really do. You can do it with joy. When Stephen was martyred in the book of Acts, he had preached the gospel. He had proclaimed the gospel. He started off and everybody was agreeing with him. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to drive the message a little closer to home and closer to home, until finally at the end, they had literally plugged their ears, were screaming at the top of their voices, and they began to rush him and they stoned him to death that day. But he didn't go to his death a miserable failure. He said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. And he cried out, Father, don't hold them to account for this. They don't understand what they're doing. When the world lacks understanding, the one thing that it doesn't want to see, but it greatly needs, is it needs to see the saints exhibiting faith and the patient endurance and long suffering that can only come from the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of you. It's not theory, folks. It's real. It's very, very real. Isn't it interesting that the gospel calls us to action in exactly the opposite manner that the world, instead of panic, God wants to give us peace. And instead of surrender, God says, endure, persevere. I'm going to cause you to come out of this victorious. Read the end of the book of Revelation. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. But the devil doesn't win. He loses. Patient endurance and faith on the part of the saints. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.